Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have you company for Dwayne's World. We'll head back to your calls and your texts very shortly. So put that number in your phone, 1300 736 736, 1300 736 736, the open line. Brought to us by Werribee Kia, and you can drop down and see David and Janan and Aid and Jim and the whole team at Werribee Kia. They'd love to see you. If you're in the market for a new or used car, you can head down to Werribee Kia and tell them we sent you. But former Geelong and St Kilda star turned fantastic assistant coach Stephen King has been good enough to join me from the Gold Coast to give us the latest from the Suns. Welcome to you, Stephen. Great to have you back on the program, by the way.
Afternoon, Dwayne. Yeah, thanks for having me, mate. It's great to join you.
It's an exciting time of year. No one's lost a game yet. You don't want to be losing players at this time of year either. So how are you looking in terms of that? I understand you did get a hamstring injury to one of your keys yesterday.
Yeah, look, Will Powell, who's obviously missed the back half of the season with a pretty bad ankle injury, he was training really strongly. And yeah, just as he joined back into integration as the main group, just had a little bit of a hammy, but we just discovered there's a little bit of tendon to it. So it's going to be on the major scale and probably a 6-weeker. So he'll be pushing his case now for round one, unfortunately. But on a positive note, I guess he's looking really, really good and strong and gotten over that horrific ankle injury that he endured last year.
Yeah, which was it was horrific. What about the thought that you got a couple of guys who are looking okay coming back from injury, Ben King and Lachie Weller as well? Are they? I'm hearing Ben King might play next week in the trial game.
Yeah, that's right. We just finished a preseason camp, Dwayne, and we've got a little 5-day break now. So the boys have had a massive block. Both Lachie and Ben have probably been in that pattern now where they're ready to be introduced into full scale, match simulation drills and games. So once we return, those guys will be, as we get closer to the date, putting their hand up to see if they're there for round one. So that's really exciting. I mean, I haven't coached a game yet with Ben being fit and available, and how he's moving on the track's really exciting. So I can't wait to see him back out there.
And Ben Long's been added. Where do you think he'll play?
Yeah, he'll play half-back, Dwayne, in our back six. He's been fantastic, mate. We've got a really diverse group and a really strong Indigenous playing group up with a Darwin influence up at our club, and he's come in straight away as a leader of those boys. And he's been not surprisingly good, but he's just been really solid, mate. We know he's hard, but he's been offensively really creative for us as well. So he's settled in really seamlessly for us up here.
Are you specifically coaching the mids or the forwards? Yep. I'm curious to know how both are going to look. You can tell me what your forward line's going to look. You've got Marby Achol, Sam Day, Levi Casbolt, Ben King.
Yeah, I'm doing the mids, Dwayne, so mid stoppages. But there's a bit of depth now coming through, and it's exciting. We'll have a look at all the boys when they're available and what the mix is, talls and smalls. But certainly, the more we've got available, having Kingy back is going to add a little bit more, I guess, class and X factor to us, because he is a tall, but he also has got the attributes of a small in some parts of the game as well with his speed and agility. So it's exciting.
How many mids are you going to rotate through your midfield? I watched Geelong train last night. They seem like they're going to be one of these teams who just continue to rotate almost based on how their players feel, who's getting it out of the middle. Quite a number of factors. I don't know how stat-driven you are when it comes to who your centre square starting four is.
Yeah, for me, Dwayne, you go off your gut a fair bit. Stats are there to probably back up your eye a little bit as well. But I just feel like we've got a pretty strong midfield group with Dave Swallow, Tuke Miller, Noah Anderson, Matt Rowe. But what's been really pleasing this pre-season is probably the emergence, even the back end of the year, of Sam Flanders and Alex Davey. So they're two that, along with Fiorini, those players, we've got obviously some wings as well, with Elijah Hollands and Brandon Ellis. So there's depth there, mate, and there's obviously a few more I haven't mentioned. But certainly for me, I'll try and push their players, many midfielders as I can each week. But we really encourage all our players to have flexibility, both on the outside, inside, but also half forward, half back. So we're going to have to probably rotate pretty heavily through there to just give all the guys an opportunity to chop each other out and make it a bit less predictable.
Has depth been one of your flaws as a team trying to make the eight?
I'm not sure about depth, Dwayne. I just think in the past history of the club, being able to retain mature talent, and I feel as though we've sort of turned the page there a little bit. So even just the fact of Rowley and Noah Anderson now coming in their fourth year, just being a year older, a year stronger, and same with Sammy Flanders, I think there's enough depth there, but it's just getting the maturity and the experience in for some of the more inexperienced depths. I think now that that's starting to raise a little bit now, it's actually really exciting. And sitting back watching training now, it's actually done at a great intensity and real purpose, which is it's great to see.
So you must be a fan of long-term deals, because when you start locking in guys like Noah Anderson, Matt Rowell on long-term deals, I know you lost Isaac Rankin, so you did lose one, but
yep.
The longer you lock these guys in for, the more the other guys at the club realise, well, the core players are here for the long-term, so maybe it's a good club to stay at myself.
Yeah, look, Dwayne, obviously I've only been up here just over 12 months, and I can only comment for what I've seen, but the environment I've seen being created from the people that have been here for a while is first class. And that's not to mention the living environment up here. I mean, it's a great place to be a professional athlete, to train and get the best out of yourself. But this playing group's really tight. It's a humble group. And I think they're just really appreciating now that, as I said earlier, turning the corner now with the retention sort of issue. These guys are actually realising and understanding that we'd rather live, you know, up here and play our footy up here with a you know, tight group of mates. So that's great to see.
So you play with the Cats and St Kilda, coach with the Dogs. What's the Gold Coast look like to you in comparison then, now that you've got fresh eyes on it?
Yeah, I think it's every environment's different, Dwayne, but there's similarities. I reckon when you're at a really successful club and things are just humming along, there's that real fine balance between performance and enjoyment. It's just clicking. And I feel like our group now have become probably mature enough where they're starting to identify times and opportunities to give each other and drive feedback and performance, but also maintaining, you know, that place where everyone wants to come to work each day. So the environment's really positive as well. So it's, you know, it's clearly there's still a fair bit of work to do. We as a group, want to be really successful at the business end of the year, and that's be players in September. So, you know, that's the goal driving us, and this young group want to do that together. So, but in terms of the foundation that's been created and set, the facilities up here are amazing, and it's a great place to come to work each day. And I feel like our players genuinely believe that as well, which is great.
So is the casual non-football environment of the Gold Coast something that you'll always have to be on the players about, you know, being diligent with themselves about committing to the task?
I'm not sure, Dwayne. I think it's nice if you want to get away and escape at times and pick your kids up from school and go to the beach. Like, that's great. You probably don't get scrutinised as much if you drop a game or two in a row like you would in Melbourne. But in saying that, I mean, the boys are probably all on social media. Their families are all from probably football states, so I'm sure they do hear what's going on. I think it's just that general balance at every club, that performance versus environment around making sure that you're on point when you have to be and you get the maximum out of every session you and every meeting that you have, but also do it in an environment that's conducive to learning and educating and I guess just like any football club across Australia, just a place where people want to come and hang out and get better.
Any style changes you think in the game itself, the way it's played in 2023, or something you saw last year that you think needs to be instilled in the Gold Coast style?
Oh, look, I think for us, Dwayne, we created some strong foundations around being a metres game team and trying to play the game in our front half. And I think for us personally as a club, we've just got to, you know, just become a bit more detailed in what we do now. Like, we jump significantly in time in forward half and inside 50s. We just got to now probably maximise those opportunities. So for us, it's probably just about being a little bit more efficient at stoppage, a little bit more efficient going inside 50 and getting a bit more bang from our buck when we go forward or win a clearance. So that's what we've tried to, you know, coach and create. But I think it's general across the AFL. You're seeing teams now just being a bit more daring with the ball and taking the game on. And some of the rules that have been introduced, it's really rewarding teams that are going quick at the right time and just taking the game on a little bit. So that's not saying we're not, you know, eliminating defence from our thinking as well. We feel like we, us personally up here, have to be a little bit more efficient. So it gives us time behind the ball to set up a little bit more.
So you did play that style last year, forward handball, forward kicks, less backward, yeah. Less slow, use the corridor when you can. Do you think this kind of being the second year of that evolution is going to help you actually get it closer to right?
Yeah, I think so, Dwayne. I think when you've got a young group, they're really coachable, and at times you risk that they demand perfection. And I think football's not a perfect game. So the more you can create an environment where you just say, boys, this is the style we want to play. We back you in to make decisions out in the ground. But I feel like too, mate, we play in a bit of a unique environment up here where it does get humid, sweaty, We played two games last year and two games this year in Darwin, so we're not going to be able to flick it around by hand like the Bulldogs might under the roof at Marvel. So we have to be, you know, a bit careful with the way we play, that actually it's conducive to the environment that we play on up here. But I feel like we've got the talent, we've got a young group, they're really keen to explore, and they've got the ability to probably play any game we throw at them. So we've just got to keep it simple and let them, on instinct a little bit, just play the game.
How do you equate Mac Andrews' indiscretion? A mistake, a young recruit, 19-year-olds make mistakes, but do you look at it like that, or do you look at through the vision of, if you don't sort of get hard on a mistake early, then a 19-year-old who makes a mistake can make another one at 21 and then another one at 23?
Yeah, look, I think you're right, Dwayne. I think he's a young man who's just growing up, really. I mean, he's 19 years of age, but we've got a really, I guess, strong and compassionate leadership group that took charge of that. And I think they're the ones that drive the values and behaviours of our club. So clearly Mac's been reprimanded in the courts as well. But I think our leadership group are really strong on what, you know, the sanctions they imposed on Mac himself. But a lot of that was also throwing an arm around him, giving him further education and making sure he actually learns from this mistake, because it won't be the last mistake a young player makes up here. But we've just got to make sure that the whole group learn from it.
So he won't play the first two games, that's the way, but he will play pre-season, obviously.
Yeah, he'll be able to play some scratch matches building in, but he'll be unavailable for the first two games of the season. That's correct.
Where does Jack Lekosius play, and where's he best suited?
He's been training with the forwards, training really strongly. So, again, last year was really interrupted for Jack. I think it was the first time in his career he sort of faced some adversity through injury, with a bit of Achilles, a bit of a PCL injury. So, very interrupted year. I think Jack's got the ability to play probably anywhere in the ground across all three lines, but he's been doing his bulk of his work as a forward. And, you know, he's someone to date that I reckon's really upped his intensity at training and the way he prepares. So he's, you know, looks really fit and strong and keen for a really strong year.
Has he only really scratched the surface of what he's capable of?
Yeah, I think obviously highly touted, Dwayne, and really talented as a kid. And I think now it's finally clicked how ruthless this game can be and how hard you need to work to be truly successful at the game. And I think now that he's actually realised now training standards, the way he trains and prepares is going to come out in the way he plays. So he probably has been thrown around a fair bit. I think even just in the past, me watching the Suns, watching him forward, half back, wing. So we've sort of nailed him down to one spot now we can sort of, you know, grab hold of.
Any of your other young recruits just in a chance for round one?
Oh, look, not sure at this point, but Bailey Humphreys, obviously, you know, our pick six in the draft. He's super player, clean, powerful, strong. He's got goal sense as well. So he's someone who could play mid-forward. Whether he can squeeze his way in for round one, I'm not sure, but he's a really impressive kid, mate. He's got leadership written all over him. He's speaking up in meetings, and, you can just tell he's got class written all over him. So he's one that's impressed the whole group straight away. Whether he can squeeze in for that round one game, but I doubt he'd be too far away from what I've seen. So he's one to keep an eye on for sure.
And you've got a good test early. You've got Sydney round one at Metricon, grand final runner-up, and you've got Geelong round three at Metricon.
Yep. Yeah, great. It's a really good start for us, Dwayne. It's to get the grand finalists early in the year. And it's something our group's really excited, and at least we get to play them up here, but it's going to show us where we're at early. So it's a great test. And I mean, obviously it's a fair bit of time to go before round one, but we've just got to make sure we keep building for that. But it's exciting. We're really looking forward to that challenge.
Stephen, always great to have a chat to you. I really appreciate you making yourself available. It makes my show better having people like you on it to explain what's happening pre-season, especially to those Suns fans out there who are lapping it up on the text. So thanks for your time. We'll talk soon.
No worries, Dwayne. Thanks for having me, mate. Anytime.
Stephen King joining us, part of the McCafe menu. And still a few to come on the McCafe menu. Chris Anstey's going to join me later on to talk some NBA, some NBL. Plenty to get to with Chris Anstey later in the program. David King's also on the program in about half an hour from now. But your call is straight after the break if you'd like to join me. Keep your text coming through. I'll read a heap out as well. 0433 98 11 16 on the 40 Winks Temper text machine. Consumer's choice winner. Temper mattresses, pillows and adjustable bases conforms to the exact shape of your body. But your call's next on that open line, 1300 736 736, as Midday Madness continues.